And we want to begin to dive into what actually is a kingdom mindset. What does the Bible say what a kingdom mindset is? And if you don't have your Bibles, I put the scriptures here on the slide. And if you look in King James Version, Philippians 2 and 5. Philippians 2 and 5. And that scripture says, let this mind be in you, which is also Christ Jesus. And I put on the side of there, kingdom mindset is a God-focused mindset through his son, Jesus Christ. Having the mind of Christ is a kingdom mindset. So when we think about kingdom mindset, the first thing we got to begin to understand that a kingdom mindset is begin to think how Jesus would think or what Jesus would do. I don't know if you remember years ago when they had these bracelets out that had WWJD. And on this bracelet, they was basically saying, what would Jesus do? And for during that whole period, people began to say, before they did anything or before they act in any kind of way, I guess in their mind, they begin to think about what would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus handle this situation? Or if you were in a conflict with someone, how would Jesus handle that conflict? And so the first thing we got to begin to understand that be able to have a kingdom mindset, we got to begin to be focused on what is the mind of Christ. So I want you to begin to think about that. What is the mind of Christ? When you think about it, what is the mind of Christ? How do you think Jesus will deal with the situations in today's time? Because I think sometimes we think about Jesus back in when he was born and in his time over 2,000 years ago. But I want you to begin to visualize and begin to perceive, how would Jesus handle some of the situations we're dealing with right now? With all the things that's going on in our world today, all the different situations and relationships and all these things, people in the hospital and, you know, all the frustration and anxiety and sickness that's going on today, how do you think Jesus will handle that? What would be his way of addressing these things in the world today? Because I believe that God given us the mind of Christ, even though Jesus is not here today, we are to be the representations of Jesus and do the things that he did back then. The scripture says, greater work will you do. And that begins to play in my mind that there's more things going on today than there was back in the time Jesus was living. So when it's your greater work, that means that you're going to be doing some things that maybe he didn't have to deal with, or some things that maybe he didn't have to go through, but through his mindset, he would give us the understanding and knowledge on how to deal with certain things. Because the Bible is plain and it's clear to let us know that he said, I will give you what to say and how to say it in that very moment. But if we don't begin to have the mind of Christ, if we don't begin to think like Jesus will, then he can't begin to impart in us the things that he wants us to say in certain situations or how to handle ourselves in certain situations, because we have not begun to think in a way, Lord, what will you do? Lord, how will you handle this? Lord, how would I deal with that person on my job? Or Lord, how would I deal with, you know, when someone cut me off in the highway? Or, you know, how will I deal with this sickness? Or how will I deal with a loved one or someone that lost a loved one? So that's the first thing. When we begin to think about having a kingdom mindset, we got to go back to the principles or the practical thinking of what would Jesus do? Because that scripture says in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you. So in other words, let that mind of Christ be in you. Jesus' mind got to be in you. You got to begin to think like Jesus think. Not saying you got to think like he was back 2,000 years ago, because we know that those situations has changed. Those things that's going on back then, even though they are happening, they're happening in a more rapid scale. They're happening in a more in-your-face kind of situation. So we got to be able to deal with things in a way that how Jesus would deal with them if he was in this time frame. So that's the first thing. We got to begin to think about our mind. How did our mind get where it's at? That's another thing. How did our mind get into a place? And I'm talking more like a Christian or people that, you know, that say that, you know, we are saved and we, you know, we love God. How do our mind get into a certain place that we don't begin to even reverence God in our mind in the morning, throughout our day? You know, even when we lay down at night, do we think about, you know, Jesus in our mind, begin to say, Lord, you know, how you took us through this day, analyze our thoughts and what we thought about and what we did. Do we think about it in that way? So that's the first thing. We got to begin to think about the mind of Christ. Now, as I was putting this scripture down, and I began to think about, like you said, where our mind is now, and the mind that Christ has got, the mind of Christ, or the mind that we're trying to transform to. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And tonight we're going to focus on two parts. The first part is be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does it mean to be conformed to this world? What do you think about when you say you conform to this world? And, you know, my children and I, when I was about a couple, I think it's about a decade ago, this movie came out. And this movie was called Matrix. That's one of my favorite movies I watched. And my children always used to tease me about that movie. But if you've never seen it, this movie is about a young man that basically he living in the world, but he did not realize the world he living in is not the real world. He has conformed to the world or conformed to the way of life, the way the world has presented to him. What I'm trying to say is that over the course of our life, we begin to conform to the things of this world. It's just human. It's just the humanity part of us. That as we live in this world, we're going to begin to conform to the things of this world. That's just the naturality of us. Because we are human and because, you know, we are nature. So we have to begin to conform to this world. Now, I make it simple. As soon as you come in this world, as you breathe your first breath, you begin to conform to this world. The world teaches us how to eat. The world teaches us how to dress. The world teaches us who we should hang out with or who we should not hang out with. The world teaches us on how we should present ourselves. And it's all part of how we got to get in, how we get around in this world. You just can't walk in this world and say, well, no, I'm just not going to conform to this world. But we have to begin to think about how much have we conformed to this world. And the reason the Bible says this world, that let us know that there is another world. I want you to understand that. It says, be not conformed to this world. So that lets me know that there's got to be another world besides the one we're living in. And the scripture says that this world is not our home, but we're here temporarily. So while we're here, we know we have to evolve in certain things in this world, but we don't have to, as saints of God, or should I say, as Christians, we're not to completely conform to everything that's going on in this world. For that scripture goes on and says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed. So that transformation starts in the mind. And I think sometimes we try to change everything except the way we think. We go from church to church to try to change how we live. We begin to affiliate with different Christian denominations or denominations to try to change how we live. We try to just say, you know, if we act a certain way, we think that we can change who we are. But the scripture makes it plain. We got to first start in how we think. How do we think? How do we see things? And me being an analytical guy, and I've been working on computers mostly all my adult life in the military. And I thought about this, and maybe some of you can relate with me, that when I first started working on a computer, there was these old computers called the Zenith 248. They had the green screen, and they didn't have all these colorful monitors that we have now, or the flat screens that we have now. And then in those computers, they also had, some of them started with a floppy disk or a disk that you had to put in so the computer could work. You couldn't even operate the computer unless you put the disk in it. So that way it would tell the computer what to do. And as time transitioned, we begin to know that those computers are no longer accessible, or we no longer can use them. And I begin to think, as a Christian today, the way when we first, some of us been saved for quite some time. And I think sometime as a Christian, just like a computer, as time evolves, the child of God has to evolve in their mind. You can't continue in your mind to think the same way you did when you first got saved. You can't continue to do the same things you did when you first got saved and God came into your life. And I'm talking about those that have been saved for some time now. I don't mean someone that just got saved maybe a year ago, or somebody just accepted God in their life maybe about, you know, a year ago or maybe 2 years ago. But I'm talking about some seasoned saints that's been saved for some time, and you're still trying to do the same things that you did back then 10 years ago, 15 years ago, to still to have that zeal or still have that fervent energy to serve God. Not saying that you're not saved, and I want to make this clear. It's not saying that you're not saved, but it's saying that, can you operate the same way you did 10 years ago with the same information or the same knowledge that you receive if you allow God to begin to renew your mind? And just like a computer, the computer has a certain time that it will go down at the end of the day, or the whole mainframe will shut down and the server will reprogram itself with updates. Any new thing that need to be done for the computer to operate, it updates it, you know, maybe through the night or maybe throughout the day, you see your computer updates. And that's the same thing in our mind. How often is our mind being updated in the Word of God? How often is our mind, are we tapping into that server, which is, you know, God's word, or, you know, praying with God, or taking some time in communion with God, that you allow God to renew your mind, to refresh your mind? Because every day we in this world, don't kid yourself, every day we reside in this world, there are things that comes into our mind through our eye gate, through our ears, or, you know, or the things we touch. These are how things penetrate our mind or infiltrate our mind. And if we don't take the time throughout the day or at night or sometime to allow God to begin to renew our mind or reprogram our mind, then that's the time to work. Now we're getting conformed more to the world. And we don't understand. We don't know why when we go to church, we're going through the formalities. We're doing the things that church people do, but we don't have the zeal and the fervent of the love of God that we had when we first got saved. Sometimes we have to force ourselves to go to church. Sometimes we have to push ourselves to come to Bible study. Or sometimes we have to, you know, somebody have to encourage us, you know, just to get in the Word of God. And that's normal. That is what we call being human. But at the same time, as we begin to realize that as we renew our mind in God, as we begin to allow God to begin to renew our mind daily, we begin to understand what it means to have a kingdom mindset. And what Paul was saying in this scripture, because he was letting the Romans know that even though he was dealing with a whole different secular people, I'm trying to put it in today's perspective. Rome was one of those major metropolis cities. Rome was one of those cities where you had the best of the best of everything. You got to realize that Rome was the top of the line. We would say probably like New York, or on the West Coast like California. Or, you know, it would be one of those top major cities. And everything that you wanted, it was there. And everything that you could get your hands on, it was at your hand. It was just your fingertips. So Paul was trying to tell the church that don't get conformed to these things that's around you. Don't get conformed in the things of this world, or, you know, the things that the world has to offer. But you got to begin to transform your mind, renew your mind by sometimes unplugging. And that's what that movie said. Sometimes you got to unplug from the world. You got to unplug from the things that goes on in on the day-to-day basis on our job, or even the people we hang with, what we watch on TV, you know, even the people we socialize with. Sometimes you got to unplug from the world and allow God to renew your mind. Because why? When he begin to renew your mind, then the scripture goes on and says that ye may be proved, that ye may prove what is that good. You can't really begin to show God. You can't really begin to let people see who God really is until you have a new mindset, have a kingdom mindset. You can't begin to let people see God in working inside of you until you may prove. It's got to be proven. You got to be validated that your mind is in the right perspective. You seeing things as Christ would see them, or you seeing things as God allow you to see it, not as the world wants you to see it. And that movie was so profound, because it took some time for this young man, if you never saw it, the guy's name was Nino. But it took some time for his mind to be reprogrammed. It didn't happen overnight. It took some time. And not just that, but it took some coaching. It took some people to help him to begin to reprogram his mind. Why is that so important? You cannot begin to reprogram your mind by yourself. You got to begin to be with saints of God, or people of God, Christians that have a kingdom mindset. Not a church mindset, but a kingdom mindset. And we're going to get into that more. Because sometimes we get around people that's more church mindset than kingdom mindset. And then that can be confusion. There can be, you know, kind of confusion on, you know, well, I thought I had a kingdom mindset, but it don't seem like I have a kingdom mindset. An acceptable and perfect will of God. What that kingdom of mindset would give you a perfect way of thinking. What I mean by perfect, not saying that you don't make mistakes, not saying that we're not going to error, but as you live in a mindset, you begin to see the things you need to work on. As you have a kingdom mindset, you begin to see those things that is good and pleasant, those things that are acceptable to God, and the things that are not. This is where grace and mercy comes in there. This is where the Spirit leads us and says, now, you know, this is not God. You know that the things you're doing is not godly. But yet sometimes we override what the Spirit is saying to us, and we find ourselves getting more conformed to the world instead of renewing our mind that it shall be the perfect will of God in our lives. A kingdom mindset is where God is leading us. I know and believe that was God's mandate through Jesus Christ, that we have a kingdom mindset. The scripture says, and that's why, and you might say, well, how do I begin to reprogram my mind? How do I begin to have a kingdom mindset? The first way you begin to have a kingdom mindset Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the first thing you got to realize. All that stuff that's in your mind, and I'm trying to make this plain tonight as I know how. But everything that goes in through our mind, the first thing we should be thinking about is seeking the kingdom of God. Scripture says, seek ye first, before there's anything. The priority in your life should be the kingdom of God. And we can get more into what the kingdom of God is, but I want you to understand, first of all, right now, is that as Christians, we should begin to think in the morning, we should be thinking about, Lord, how to lead my day. The scripture says, if you acknowledge him in everything, he shall direct your path. So if you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, okay, thank you for waking me up. So Lord, give me direction on what I should do today. Give me directions in all at work when I go throughout my day in the grocery store, or when I have a meeting with someone, or even when I go into the bank, or even when I'm going to visit somebody. Lord, guide my thoughts. Guide my thoughts. So the first thing, you got to begin to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is righteousness? There is a difference between right and righteousness. Right, they always equate to righteousness. But righteousness is going to always equate to doing what's right. Because why? Righteousness means you are doing it as God want you to do it. Or I'll go back to you doing it as WWJD. You doing it the way, what would Jesus do? Not what Andrew would do, not what would my pastor do, or not what my bishop said I would do, but what would Jesus do in this situation? How will he handle it? Righteousness is thinking a godly way. Righteousness is thinking the way that Jesus would handle things. That's the righteous way, not the right way, because I want to be clear on that, because there's a lot of things that might seem right in the world, but it's not right with God. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. So even we don't know what's right. We don't even know what righteous is. We have to go to God through his son, Jesus Christ, to begin to understand what righteousness is. And all these other things, see, we got the cart before the horse. We're going after all these other things. We're going after our job. We're going after our relationships. We're going after our finances. We're going after all these other things before we begin to seek God and the righteousness of God. And when we put the cart before the horse, if you never, that illustration is so profound, because it's kind of hard to move the cart when the horse is on the back of it, which is supposed to be pulling the cart. And that's how it is sometimes. We expect God to do things in our life, but yet we got God on the back, and then we got the things before, and now we want God. No, God must be the lead. He's the one that's going to do the pulling. He's the one that's going to bring you through it. But if we don't put him first, then he just sits back and says, okay, I'll let you handle it. I sit on the cart and let you pull the cart. All these other things will be added. This is Jesus speaking. Matter of fact, it's read. Jesus is speaking this. He is saying all these things that you desire, all these things that you want, you're going to get those. That's a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset is that I'm not really worried about all these other things, because I know that these other things are going to be added to me. I know I'm going to get these other things. Why am I going to get these other things? Because the Bible makes it plain. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in him, if you put him first, if you seek his kingdom first, if you follow after righteousness first, you don't have to worry about these other things. He's going to make a way. He's going to make you find favor with man. He's going to make a way that you ain't got to worry, get stressed out, and get anxiety and get frustrated. Because why? At the end of the day, the Bible says all things work together for the good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose, not ours, but his purpose. A kingdom mindset is about putting God first. A kingdom mindset is about seeking the way of God first before our very own. This is a kingdom mindset. Now, this is what we're going to get into tonight. This is the meat of the topic tonight. The meat of the topic tonight is a kingdom mindset versus church mindset. And I really believe that we are living in a time, we are living in an era that we are more focused, I'm saying the saints of God, Christians, we are more focused on a church mindset than a kingdom mindset. And I think some people might get upset with me and they go back and hear this. Maybe some people might got some comments about it, but I'm willing to receive your comments. But I believe it's in my heart that I believe by what I see, I'm observing, and I see that, you know, are we really going after a kingdom mindset or are we living a church mindset? So tonight, what I did, I went through, and there's this pastor that pastors this church. He's an apostolic pastor, but he teaches all about kingdom mindset. He don't just teach apostolic, but he teach kingdom mindset. And as I begin to read some of his narrative, read some of his documentations, the documentaries, some of these things, there's more, but some of these stuck out with me. So tonight, I want to look at kingdom mindset versus a church mindset. A kingdom mindset creates wealth to transform a community in a nation. That's a kingdom mindset. A church mindset motivates giving to build our own church programs. Now, I'm going to go through this list. I want you to begin to think, how do you scale this? How do you evaluate these two, kingdom mindset and the church mindset in the world we in today? And I'm saying, I say the world, I'm talking the church world now. I'm talking the church world. A kingdom mindset views the Bible as a blueprint to structure every aspect of society. Every aspect. So in other words, every part of the society, the word of God should be the blueprint. Not just for in the church. The way we govern our world, the way we govern our country. It should be the blueprint. It should be the foundation on how we deal with everything that's going on in our country, in our world. The Bible is the blueprint. It's very hard for a builder to build a house without a blueprint unless he already know how to build a house or he got some idea. But at the end of the day, you got to have a blueprint to know how you want the infrastructure built. A church mindset views the Bible merely as a pististic, or should I say sanctimonious, I'll put that in parentheses, sanctimonious book that enables us to escape the world, enter heaven, and be spiritual. The church sees the Bible as us being sanctimonious. You know, we so deep sometimes. We walk like the Pharisees and we walk like the Sadducees back in the day. We want people to know that we are so sanctimonious and we know the Bible. We got our theology degree. We got our doctor's degree. We got our degree in divinity and all these other things. We're so sanctimonious. It enables us, but are we using it so we can try to get away from the world? And we're using it just to get into heaven and be spiritual minded? It's big. The word of God is bigger than that. I want you to understand tonight, the word of God is bigger than that. It's bigger than just being able to say, I got my degree in theology, or I use the word of God to escape from the world. And I want to make that plain. Sometimes we take the word of God and we just box ourselves in a way, you cannot escape the world. Not while you're living. You can't escape the world. You got to use the word of God, begin to use this blueprint on how to navigate through the world, how to live in this world. Even Jesus told His father, when he left, he says, "Father, I pray for my disciples that, Lord, don't you take them out of the world, but Lord, help them to be able to maneuver," and I'm paraphrasing, help them to be able to navigate through the world, because he knew that this world is going to be a challenge for them. Just like us, the world is going to be a challenge for the children of God, but the Bible is the blueprint on how to navigate through the world, not to escape the world. And we think the word is just for entering heaven. We preach that going to heaven. The word of God is about going to heaven. It's more in the word of God than just about going to heaven. The Bible will teach you how to save money. The Bible will teach you how to deal with relationships. The Bible will teach you how to deal with certain situations, how to deal with your anger, how to deal with your conflicts. The Bible will teach you and give you wisdom. There's more in the word of God than just saying going to heaven or entering to heaven. And lastly, being spiritual. Being spiritual. And you know, I try to think about Jesus in this time, and I say, the Bible says he hung out with the tax collectors. He hung out with those that was not godly. So I guess when he was hanging with them, did it seem that he was walking around deep and walking around like the Pharisees with the crosses and all the proselytes on his head? Did he just walk around? It's not being spiritual. That's what I say, being spiritual. But you got to, it's a life. It's a life. It's not trying to be something. It's like trying to say, I'm going to try to be a man. No, you are a woman. You don't try to be that. That's who you are. Let me go. My time is going. With a kingdom mindset, churches embrace and love their surrounding unchurched communities. With their church mindset, churches only embrace converted individuals within their faith communities. That's the church mindset. A kingdom mindset trains people for all life, not just one part of their life, but the whole holistic of a person, body, mind, and soul. A church mindset trains people only for church, how to function in the church, all the different auxiliaries in the church, the things that have to be done in the church, train you for church. A kingdom mindset applies a spirit-empowered approach to the natural world. A church mindset involves a spirituality that separates from the world. See what I'm saying? You try to separate. We can't separate from the world. A church mindset involves a spirituality that separates from the natural world. Jesus said when he left, he says, after the Holy Ghost come, you shall have power. He empowered us. When I'm saying he empowered us, he empowered the children of God, the saints of God, to be able to go out into this world and influence the world with a kingdom mindset. We don't have to walk around in fear. We don't have to walk around in a place of anxiety, in a place that we have uncertainty. If you are spirit empowered, you should be able to go out into this world and let people know that you have a kingdom mindset. And it's not about what you wear. It's not about what you drive. It's not about the church you go to. But it's a mindset that when people see that, hey, there's something different about you, it starts in the mind. Spiritual empowerment. So I'm gonna take that, and I want you to digest that a little bit and begin to focus on that, because is there a difference? Do we have these two mindsets going on in our mind right now? Do we have a mindset of church and a mindset of the kingdom, and we trying to